They shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's true American hero is the venerable Antonio Margil, 17th century Franciscan missionary, not a martyr, but a missionary, the Apostle of Texas. But like St. Philomena, he walked away from certain death more than once, arrows or fire, and countless were his miracles, multiplying food, providing water, and such devotion. He established hundreds of missions from Costa Rica to eastern Texas and built the first church in Louisiana. And he gave the faith himself to tens of thousands of Indians. He's a saint of devotions, too. He himself, as a Franciscan, personally set up and blessed 2,500 station sets, or ways of the cross, in Guatemala alone. For a while, he was put to train priests to be missionaries, and in that seminary, in order to maintain fidelity to the rubrics, he held a weekly conference on the ceremonies of the Mass. He himself had worn the same habit for 14 years, sometimes in the wilderness, repairing it with bark from a certain tree. And yet he insisted that his priests and his people spend all of the money they had to make the altars and the churches as beautiful as they could, to be worthy, he said, of the majesty of God. He only slept 3 hours a night, 8 to 11. And at 11, the lay brother would come to wake him up, and together they would read a chapter of the mystical city of God from the venerable Mary of Agreda. And then he would pray the rest of the night. The mystical city of God is a real saint maker. And when he said, I've never heard of this before, but when he said the words of the consecration, "This is my body," he heard our Lord repeating those same words back to him. So much did Christ live in this priest. He was all for Jesus. They called him in his lifetime a saint, and he was indeed the Apostle of Texas. He also got the nickname of the Flying Friar. Once he walked barefoot with his mass kit on his back, as he always traveled, covering 700 miles in just 14 days. But he called himself, from the time that he was a young training friar, El Nada Mismo, just nothing. That's how he would sign his letters. And he was a man of profound humility. Well, once he did call himself a donkey. He arrived back at the main monastery in Mexico City to die, and he announced his coming to the Father Guardian. "Reverend Father," he said, "the donkey has come here to deposit its burden." And when he died, his confessor was hard put to find any sins that he might absolve. And then they brought him the picture of Our Lady of the Remedies, and he kissed it most tenderly, and he said, "Hasta mañana, querida señora." See you tomorrow, dearest lady. And the next day, this past Tuesday was the anniversary, the 6th of August, he did die. When you hear about the deaths of the saints, it almost makes you want to become one for a moment, doesn't it? His was a life totally spent, poured out for our Lord and for souls. What a glorious saint, what a glorious patron Texas has. And his name is Nada Mismo, just nothing. What of us? What are we called? It's true, sometimes we do get called names that we don't mind because we make a stab at humility. sometimes. Really, we just desire to be called Catholics and nothing but Catholics, but of course, because there's a false church out there, and the seat is indeed vacant, and you know all about that, we are called sede vacantes. But it's interesting, I got to thinking the other day, how many different kinds of sede vacantes there are. I counted at least 4 or 5. Don't be scandalized at so many divisions. It was predicted, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Thus, the mystical Christ in us lives his passion today. Some people call us the totalist sede vacantes. The meaning of that is that we totally reject the conciliar church and its hierarchy, and totally, of course, cleave to the old religion and no changes at all. Totally. All or nothing. No half measures. My God and my all. That word totally has a sense of perfection about it, of completion and of fullness. It reminds me of the hymn we've just now sung. Hail Jesus, hail, who for my sake sweet blood from Mary's veins didst take and shed it all for me. Every Mass is a totalist Mass. Our Savior sheds all of his blood. Today's Mass is totalist in that same sort of a sense, I think. There's the chosen people of the Old Testament, and they've been warned time after time and chastised by Almighty God. St. Paul says, for our correction. And finally, there's our Lord stopping before they start the Palm Sunday procession and seeing Jerusalem in its beauty and weeping over the horror of the sin they would commit in a few days' time. Deicide, the killing of a god. The Vatican II Church denies this infallible teaching of the ordinary magisterium. How did they commit it? Well, the Jewish nation cried out Good Friday morning, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Now life is in the blood, Scripture says. Theirs was the crime, but we surely share the guilt of the crucifixion by our own sins, which put our Lord there on the cross. The punishment of deicide tarried one generation until the death of Saints Peter and Paul in Rome was accomplished. That way, Rome became, in the blood of these apostles, the new holy city. But when the punishment came to the city of old, it was absolute. It was total. Not a stone was left upon a stone. The end of the old covenant, and for all practical purposes, of its people. The new covenant is founded in his blood, our Savior says. All poured out for us. This is the chalice of my blood of the new and eternal testament, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the remission of sins. The Mass puts before us and before God what took place on the cross. How does that work? How does the Mass present the sacrifice of Calvary? Well, to answer that, ask another question. How did Christ die? Many say he died on the cross of suffocation, that he could not lift himself anymore to breathe as he hung there by the nail. And thus, he died. He did not die that way. Father Dolan, we talked about him the other day, the Carmelite father who wrote on the subject. Father Dolan says, he died of exsanguination. One doctor phrases it thus, traumatic hemorrhagic shock. And the shock stopped our Lord's blood from clotting. It flowed profusely from the night before in the garden with his sweat. And then after he was arrested in his many beatings, and they beat him with chains, first of all. And then the scourging, 400 wounds they have identified on the Shroud of Turin. The crown of thorns, the head always bleeds freely. Falling under the weight of the cross and then the crucifixion itself, emergency room doctors would say today, he bled out. Totally. All of his precious blood for me, the Lamb, in fulfillment of sacred scripture. And he died at the same hour as the last Lamb of the Old Testament, just before the veil of the sanctuary was rent in two. The evening sacrifice always took place at 3 o'clock. The trumpet sounded across the valley between the temple and Calvary. The consecration bell is meant to evoke that for us still today. And then, consummatum est, it is finished. All. There is nothing left. Thus the water which St. John saw flow from his opened side. Had our Lord died of suffocation, the sacrifice of the Mass would be no renewal of his death, no fulfillment of his own words at the Last Supper. In the Mass, we know this, a real and true sacrifice is offered. There is Christ's death, his body separated from his blood sacramentally, as the bread is changed into his body and then the wine into his precious blood. And by virtue of the double consecration, they are separated, representing visibly the shedding of all of our Lord's blood, my God and my all. But you know the mystery of the faith in the Mass, and how that at the same time, the totality of Jesus Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, is present under the appearances of both bread and wine. Thus it is that we pray in the communion verse today from the 6th chapter of St. John, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. The communion in which our Lord is consumed completes and perfects the sacrifice, but the double consecration is its essence. All of it, all his blood is poured out. For who? For you and for many. And we are nothing, but God's Son gives us his all. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.